Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Kristen, how are you?
How are you, Shanna? I am doing well. I feel like it's been a really long time since we've caught up, and it kind of has been. I mean, we are in contact every day, but it's to true. Sit down and record some new episodes and just catch up on life and catch up our fellow friends and listeners on life, because we've heard that people enjoy hearing about what we've done.
I know. I was sort of, I'm like, I think people, do they enjoy our banter? Are they like annoyed? I'm like, the amount of people that's like, I miss you guys catching up.
I know. So the great news is we have an entire month's worth. Oh, I can't talk to catch up our friends on. So that's what we were doing. We're like, what did we do this month? Because we have the entire month of August. So let's see, the entire month of August. What did I do? I'm literally looking at my calendar as if I keep one.
You don't keep it. That's hilarious. That's the funniest thing I've heard.
I do have the calendar app open.
Okay.
There's nothing on there to jog my memory, but I hope that seeing the dates will help me remember.
You don't keep a calendar.
I'm pretty good with dates. Anyways, I don't keep a calendar. It's pretty concerning sometimes. But that's what I have Shanna for. She keeps me on track. She tells me when we're going to record, especially with interviews. It's kind of scary that I, you know, when I text her the day before and I'm like, when are we recording this interview? And she says tomorrow at 10 a.m. Kristen.
I think people would laugh if they saw our text exchange. I know. The emojis that I use for you.
She gets a little frustrated with me, but that's the benefit of having many, many, many years of friendship that we've built it past that. Anyways, we've gone off the rails. Let's see, in August has just been a lot of birthdays, honestly. I went to an 80th birthday party celebration, which was so much fun and so cool to be able to celebrate an 80th birthday. Like, that is just fantastic. I went to a 15-year-old birthday celebration, which was a lot of fun too. It was at a putt-putting place and
That's fun.
A driving range, which I participated in the putt-putting. Yeah. I came in third of our group. And
out of how many?
Of like
more than three?
Eight.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, good.
More than three. I'm offended by that. No, but three of us tied for third place. So that was a lot of fun. But I do have to tell you, I don't know how often you guys putt-putt. I don't putt-putt very often. But in the 18 holes that we played, three times my ball went into the hole and bounced back out. Twice on the same hole, which was the final one. I was so frustrated by that. Like, it happened once and everyone was like, oh my gosh, how does that happen? Who knew? I was like, oh yeah, crazy, right? And then on the very last hole, because usually on the, like with putt-putt places, on the last hole, it will like keep your ball, not at this place. It bounced out. I think it was my second shot. And it bounced out and I was like, oh, that's annoying for it to happen on the last one, because people had already done gotten a hole in one on that one, which so I was already frustrated that I wasn't going to get to beat
them.
You're
not at all competitive.
No. Mm-hmm. And then it happened again. And I was so annoyed, which then made me tie with two other people for third place. Anyways, it was a great birthday for my nephew.
It's like, is this the Truman Show?
It was very frustrating. That's August.
Fun time,
though. Just a lot of fun celebrating other people and celebrating birthdays. And I think that's the bulk of what I've been up to. What have you been up to this last month?
Whew. We have just been kind of transitioning as a family. My husband got a new position at his job, which has taken, I'm really, really proud and excited for him, but it has been a transition, and we have been getting ready for school, and we took our kids to, I think right after our last episode with Jen, that same day, actually, we took our kids to Great Wolf Lodge with a lot of other homeschool friends and some friends from our church. And we had the best 2 days. And it's really sweet to see how the Lord has kind of worked in me specifically, because like, I, and our listeners, I've talked about it. Like, I've struggled with anxiety and like, normally I'm that mom that's like, oh my, like, and OCD, anxiety is not enough, but like, I'm that mom that like sits on like on the side and I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm watching everybody and I'm like, I don't want to go do that because then I have to dry off and, you know, and it, the Lord's been so kind through counseling and meds. And like, I had the best time with my kids. Good. They were like, let's go like do the slide. And I'm like, let's go do the slide. You know, like it was so much fun. And we stayed up really late eating ice cream and doing
fun
crests. Memories. And it really, really was. And then last week it was like a Tuesday, my husband's like, I just need to kind of clear my brain for a little bit. Like, we're going to get away. And I'm like, huh? Like, so we just started school. We're going to what? And so he called his mom and he was like, would you mind watching the kids for the weekend? I just need to kind of relax.
And she and said, like, of course.
She did. She was like, absolutely, I will.
Bring those babies to me.
Yep. And so that's 2 days notice. And we headed off to the lake and just kind of, I read 2 books and we just kind of relaxed and came back, hit the ground running. You know, we're back in school and all of our activities at the church is starting back up, all of our classes in the fall semester. And so it was just a really sweet time of, I got a really sweet time with my family and then a really sweet time with just my husband of just like exhaling for a little bit and not working. I didn't take my laptop or anything. It was like,
good
was
job. I'm so proud of you.
Those who know me and they're like, Shanna left her laptop at home. Guys, that's a big deal.
The number of times that you've been away at the lake with your husband and you're like, yeah, I've got some writing to do. And I'm like, leave that at home. So yeah. Very proud of you.
Thanks.
That is huge.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah. But also, it's September 1st when we're recording this. Like, how is it already September?
I don't know. And I don't know. This month is, I'm looking at my calendar, which just sits right here above my desk. And I'm like, oh boy.
The busyness begins.
It does, which is great. It's all good. I'm really excited about our episode today. I think that we purposely have positioned this where we have, you know, we started off with the attributes of God. We need to have a right view of God first and foremost before we can do anything else. We have to see God rightly before we can see ourselves rightly and before we can read the Bible correctly. And then, man, Kristen, how great was our interview with Jen last episode?
Oh, my word. Guys, if I could have just sat there for 3 hours just talking to her, I would have been in heaven. She just has so much wisdom, and I really hope our listeners enjoyed that. It seems like from the feedback that I'm getting that people really enjoyed that episode of hearing Jen get to talk to us about biblical literacy and the importance of every believer being able to read scripture. And that kind of set the stage for us to jump into our next episode or our episode today. It's not going to be necessarily a series, but as you said, Shanna, like, we wanted to give a foundation of who is God, like how, who is he? Because so often, especially if you've grown up in church and especially if you've grown up in the IFB, you tend to not get a complete view of who God is, or you get an incorrect view of who he is. I don't know, growing up, I viewed him or always thought of him in kind of that negative connotation. Like, yes, he created the world. Yes, he sent his son, and there's that loving aspect of it. But a lot of it was born out of but he is just waiting for me to step out of line so that he can rain down his judgment. Absolutely. And while he is a just God and he does rebuke, just like parents have to correct their children, he absolutely does do that. there is so much more as well at play in his attributes mm-hmm. and of who he is. And so we set that up, and then we got to talk with Jen about the importance of biblical literacy. And then we get to jump into our episode today, where we're going to just discuss how we should read and study our Bible. Because I feel like as we were growing up, we were told, read your Bible. And it mm-hmm. stopped there. Mm-hmm. We didn't get much more than that. It was just like supposed to be something that we innately were supposed to know, all the things that it is about reading our Bible and what it means to study our Bible. And people might even have said, and our pastors might have taught, like, you should study the Bible. What did that mean? Like, I know mm-hmm. I was never taught how to. It wasn't until much later in life that I really grasped onto that and realized what that meant and yeah. kind of practical steps and practical applications of how to do that. And so that's kind of what we wanted to discuss today yeah. so that when we are talking and we're telling our listeners, hey, go read your Bible, read the scriptures for yourself and see where this says that, you can, and you feel yeah. a little bit more confident. You're probably not going to feel completely confident jumping into it, but you feel a little bit more confident knowing some of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to, I asked my kids some questions. I was like, I'm curious, like what you're going to say, what the Bible is. And Oliver got in front of the microphone. He's like, I don't want to do this. He ran off.
He I was going to say, off. Because nothing's cuter than having kids.
I tried. Because I even asked him, I was like, tell me. And I was like, oh, buddy, would you like say that in the microphone for me? And he's like, sure. And he stood there and he's like, no, I'm not. I'm out of here. And he ran
he's
off.
He's the shy one.
And then there's Emma, who's like, yeah, absolutely. So I asked Emma some questions about what is the Bible, and let's see what she has to say.
Hey, Emma, what is the Bible?
It's God's true word. It is from God and about God, and it is true. The Bible is one book that tells lots of stories. They make up one big story.
Can you tell me what that story is?
Of course. Creation, fall, promise, flood in the Tower of Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, slaves in Egypt, Moses, Red Sea, wilderness, Jordan River, Joshua, conquest of the Promised Land, Judges, Samuel the prophet, King Saul, David, King Solomon, kingdom split, prophets speak, Israel conquered by Syria, Judah conquered by Babylon, the exiles return, temple rebuilt, 400 years of silence, Jesus was born, lived a perfect life, disciples follow Jesus, died on the cross, buried in a tomb, Jesus was resurrected, ascends to heaven, Holy Spirit comes, the gospel is shared to all the earth, the church waits, Jesus returns, kingdom of God forever.
Good job, Emma. I love that there are 40 main events in the Bible that can tell one big story, and you just sang them to me. Great job.
Thank you.
Cute as always, right?
So cute. Sorry, I'm currently snacking on gummy bears, yeah, sour gummy bears. So
sour gummy bears. Yes, she is.
So as I finish eating those.
Yes. Yeah. So Emma answered my question of what is the Bible? And the Bible is God's true word, right? The Bible is a book about God, not about us. And it's one big story that tells how God wants to dwell with his people. And so the song that that Emma sang, it's a song that we teach our kids, and it's really just this, it lets them know like, hey, there is a story in scripture, and everything that I study is going to fall within these big events, right? Of mm-hmm. God coming, and he wanted to dwell with them in the garden, and then sin destroyed that. But he's like, you know what? I'm providing a way to dwell with you again. And mm-hmm. so I love that she knows that. And if I was talking to an adult, there's a different way. I wouldn't sing them a song, right?
Oh, come on. That would be a lot of fun.
I wouldn't sing you a song, and she would do it way better than I would. But, you know, the Bible is a story from Genesis to Revelations that tells that God plan to dwell with his people, and that knowing and studying the story of Scripture helps us to know our place in God's story. I know that when I learned this, I will never forget, I was sitting in our training program, and they were like, you know, one of your big things that you're going to have to do at the end of this year is tell the story of Scripture. And I was like, that can't be that difficult, right? Like, God made everything and then sin messed it up, you know, like, surely. And then as we're studying it throughout the whole year, I'm like, oh my goodness, it is really one big story. And it, I think if nothing else that I got out of that whole year, the story of Scripture was my most eye-opening thing. And I think mm-hmm. that in order to study the Bible and to know the Bible, we need to know the story of the Bible. So will you indulge me and let me tell you the story of Scripture, Kristen?
What if I say no?
I'm going to do it anyway.
You're still going to do it. Exactly. Yes, of course. I would love to.
Can I tell you a story?
The story of Scripture.
You are such a jerk. Okay.
Yes, please.
Emma's is cuter, but it's fine. I'm telling you a story anyway. Okay. So we see at the very beginning that God eternally exists as three persons in one God. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's never been a time when he did not exist. The triune God created all things. Of all the beauty he created, his masterpiece was a man and a woman. God made Adam and Eve in his image to reflect him, and he gave them responsibility to cultivate his earthly kingdom for his glory. They were to rule and reign over creation and live freely in community with God. While living in perfect community with God, man sinned. Instead of trusting God as his authority, man decided to become his own authority by disobeying the commands of his creator. This decision resulted in spiritual and physical death, disrupting our community with God and with others. But through history, God is working to restore what sin destroyed. I already have chills. It's fine. He ordained a plan to save the whole world through Abraham and his descendants. God enters into a covenantal relationship with them, promising to bless them and the whole world through them. He promises to be their God and that they will be his people. After hundreds of years, the Israelites, who are descendants of Abraham, became enslaved by Egypt. But through Moses, God continued to uphold his promise. God delivered Israel and promised the law, showing them how to live in relationship with him and others. God reaffirmed his promise to be their God and that they would be his people. And the law served to highlight their sin and their need for a savior. Of course, Israel agreed to be faithful to God as their king and ruler when he gave them the law. But as always, Israel began a cycle of unfaithfulness after they entered the promised land. In their disobedience, God allowed foreign nations to attack them as judgment for their sins. The people cried out for mercy, and then God raised up judges to save them. Under the leadership of Samuel, the last Israelite judge, the people asked God to give them a king like the other nations. God granted their request, and even with kings, Israel continued in disobedience. So consequently, God sent Israel into exile. Their sinful actions did not stop God's promises to bless them and the nations through them. Because through the line of David, God promised to raise up a king who would redeem the people and rule perfectly over all nations forever. During the time of Israel and Judah's monarchy, God raised up prophets to guide the kings. The prophets would remind the people to be faithful to the covenant they made with the Lord. Some kings listened, but many did not. God responded to their disobedience by sending Israel and Judah into exile. The prophets, they also offered hope. God had not abandoned them and would one day fulfill the promises he made to their forefathers. God would make a new covenant with them, this time writing his law on their hearts. After 400 years of silence, God promised, he kept his promises that he made to Israel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Father sent God the Son to save humanity. Born of a virgin, God the Son became a human named Jesus. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death. His sacrifice redeems humanity and establishes his authority as the Messianic King. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is restored. After his resurrection, Jesus commanded his followers to spread the gospel to all nations. He then ascended into heaven to reign at the right hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit was given to gather and transform believers, empowering them with spiritual gifts to do good works for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit also gathers people into a new community called the church. And the church's ultimate purpose is to make disciples, proclaiming the good news about Jesus until he returns to complete his kingdom. Man, one day, Jesus will return to earth as king. He will judge all humanity in righteousness. He will destroy the kingdom of Satan, sin, death, and all of sin's effects on the world. He will renew the heavens and the earth, and all of God's people from all ages will live in perfect community with the triune God forever, the way it was meant to be in the beginning, Emmanuel, God with us. And I cannot believe I just told that whole thing without crying, because every time it gets me.
I was going to say, you did it without tearing up, and it was really cool to listen and to be able to think of, like you said, that the Bible is a big story about God. And hopefully as Shanna was reading through that, you were picking out those books of the Bible or stories that you've heard over and over, and you could kind of connect of how scripture is one big story from Genesis to Revelation. But also as we talk about, like, what is the Bible, right? There's a term that will be thrown around a lot when you start talking about scripture. And it is a Latin phrase called sola scriptura, based off of, or brought from, the five solas, that I believe it was Martin Luther that kind of penned these, the Reformation. So it is, you know, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. And so that scripture alone, it's sola scriptura, has to do with the sufficiency of scripture, and that it is our supreme authority in all spiritual matters. And that is a very important part, and why we stress so much about reading scripture is because we do believe in scripture alone being the supreme authority. And also that the Bible is for everyone, right? It's not reserved, which was one of the things, right, that the Reformation brought about, was that the Bible and reading the Bible was saved for just the elite and, you know, the priests and those pastors, and they were the only ones that could have and be able to read scripture. And that was part of the Reformation, was that, no, it is, the scripture is for everyone. It's for, as you said, you know, as we were discussing this, it is for the 8-year-old and the 80-year-old. It is for the most studied scholar. And it is for the one who has an 8th grade education, maybe didn't finish school. The Bible is for everyone and can be read by everyone. I think a lot of times we psych ourselves out and thinking, well, I haven't had all the training. I haven't had X, Y, and Z in order to really be able to study scripture. And that's not true. You have everything that you need to be able to study scripture, which is why we wanted to discuss how to read the Bible and how we should read the Bible and study it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's what I think. That's one of the most things I'm passionate about. You're to ask me, I'm like, you know, the Bible's for everyone. It's accessible and you can study it. Not your pastor, not your husband, you.
Because you're not going to give account for them.
Absolutely. I love that. You're not going to give an account for your pastor's mind or your husband's mind. You're going to give account for yours.
Right.
I love that. There are some things that we think we should keep in mind before we dive into this, you know, like things to know before you study, to keep in mind as like, hey, I'm opening the Bible, and these are some things to keep in my tool belt, really. And the first one I would say is that the Bible cannot mean for us what it did not mean for its original audience. I think a lot of times we open the Bible and we're like, I think that's, we can take so many things out of context because we're like, we're reading this and we're like, oh, this is for America right now.
Right.
this is for America right now.
If you know, my people who are called by my, like, oh, how often sister. Oh, is that on. One? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and we put that towards America. Right. And that is not what that meant.
Don't get me on that. Don't get me on that. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely. It cannot mean for us what it did not mean for the original audience. And so that's important. Absolutely. To remember. And then another one, Jen actually said it last week or last episode, was that the Bible should be read literately, not literally. And I think that's going to make a lot of people's minds blow, or we might even just get
or even a lot stumble of pushback. A little bit, right? Because yeah. we've been told that we are to take the Bible literally. And that gets into some problems when we hit passages like in Daniel or in Revelation. Or, you know, some, if we're taking it literally, we can't just say, oh, well, we don't have to take this literally, right? If we're saying we take the entire Bible literally, why are we taking one and not the other?
Yeah.
But I like that idea of it should be read literally.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the ways that we do that is to know the Bible has different literary genres. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to read any book literally, you need to know the genre, right? And so there are six different genres in scripture that it's helpful to know before you read, like, hey, am I reading a book of history, or am I reading a book of, is this an epistle, or is this a prophet? Like, what am I reading? So can you tell us a little bit about each of those genres?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, there's six different genres. The first one we have is history, and that tells us the story of God's people. So if you think of those Old Testament books that just kind of tell us the story of the Israelites, we have the law that tells the rules for God's people. You have the prophets, it's speak God's words to the people. You have wisdom and poetry, low key, not my favorite ones.
You don't love Psalms and Proverbs?
I read them, but they're not my favorite. those are songs and prayers. And then you have probably the two that most all believers know the best and study and read the most are the Gospels, which tells a story of the life of Jesus. And then the epistles, or the letters, which are the letters to the churches, which is a lot of them written by Paul, kind of Paul's explaining. And it makes sense why we tend to gravitate towards those, because it kind of is speaking more to us too, you know, those epistles and being able to give guidance. Mm-hmm. But knowing those different literary genres is so important when you're reading scripture. So that, like you said, the Bible cannot mean to us what it didn't mean to the original audience.
Absolutely. And I think it's really also important to go along with that we have to interpret scripture by scripture. Mm-hmm. So we can't just say, okay, like, I'm going to read this one little verse and like, this is just what it means. Or I'm going to go like Google what this means. It's like, no, like, what does the Bible say about this? Or was there a precedent that was set in the Old Testament, which is why we need to be in the Old Testament, friends. We need to interpret scripture by scripture, because it's sola scriptura. It's scripture alone.
Because there's a lot of things that are maybe further explained, or, you know, different takes on it in the epistles and the letters that were first established in the Old Testament. And if you don't have that background of what it originally was supposed to be. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the entire law, and now, you know, they were able to live in a different way because of that. If you don't have the background, you might understand a little bit of it, but you don't get the full picture. It's like seeing just a portion of a picture without having the full picture.
Yeah. And I also think of like Jesus himself, or you have the Apostle Paul, like in his writings, so many times they refer back to Psalms. Yeah. Like, they'll refer back to something in Psalms or something in Isaiah.
Isaiah especially.
Yeah. And you're like, how, if you don't know that that was something that was prophesied before or done in the Old Testament, you're like, I don't understand how that even matters to this context, you know?
And how the audience would immediately know.
Absolutely.
Like, when he says that, they knew well enough all of those books
They were trained in that.
That's the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
Like that is what he's calling back to. It's not just him saying these words. He is calling back to something that we know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's really, really important to remember those things. So when we're talking about like what to know before we study, I think, you know, today we find ourselves pulled in a lot of different directions, right? Whether it's like work and family and ministry, and we got to stay active, and like our kids have all these different things going on in our schedules. And it's, we want to make the most of our study time when we have it. You know, it may only be 15 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, we may not get a whole 30 minutes or an hour in our quiet time. And I'm air quoting the quiet time. Quiet time.
Because if you have kids, a lot of times it's not quiet. Yeah. Right.
who coined that phrase? Yes. And so we want every minute to count. And so I think there are some things to kind of, that can help us make the most of our time in the Word. And I think one of the things is like, just trust that it will bear fruit. You know, it won't necessarily maybe like, I think we want to dig into the scriptures and we want it to like to fill our tank right now.
Right.
Like I am anxious right now or whatever it is. I want it to fill my tank right now. And there's something that Jen said that I really loved and I appreciate it. And she uses this illustration of like a savings account and a debit card. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, think of the Bible study as a savings account rather than a debit card. Rather than viewing it as a declining balance, you draw on it to fill an immediate need. So it's like, I'm taking from this and it's a declining balance. You allow it to have a cumulative effect over weeks, over months, and over years. And I think taking that long-term view is helpful. You just keep making deposits and you trust that God is going to illuminate the meaning in his perfect time, because he's faithful to do that.
Right. And it helps that mindset helps. I won't say completely eliminate, but lessen the discouragement that can come when you're first starting out. Mm. So, I think a lot of times, and it's this weird, culture, I guess you could say, that's built around this idea of quiet time, and that you have to get something mm-hmm. profound out of everything that you read that day. Like, so, you know, and even we'll be like, what did you read in your quiet time? Well, you know, and mm-hmm. which is good. I'm not saying that those aren't good things to ask. And if that's, you know, let's talk about what we're reading. Sure. Let's talk about mm-hmm. Jesus. I feel like when I've been asked that, I've felt this urge or desire to have something profound out of it. And if I don't have something profound, it didn't work.
And that is not scriptural.
Right. And that's not scriptural. And that mm-hmm. helps then changing that mindset of, you know what, this is a savings account and I'm going to continue to read, even if what I read, mm-hmm. one, I don't understand right away, or it doesn't necessarily apply. Mm-hmm. I can't get like that nugget of truth that I'm applying immediately into my life that day.
Yeah.
That it is a savings account. And like you said, we trust that God will illuminate and show and be able to recall to mind when we need that time.
I mean, what if what you're studying right now isn't something you need for 10 years?
Right.
But you study trusting that God is who he says he is, that he's faithful, and that nothing is wasted.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really,
yeah. That change of mindset is very helpful at all levels, but especially when you're first starting out, if you haven't read the Bible, if you've kind of relied more mm-hmm. on something like a daily bread or, you know, just a quick devotional or anything like that, it can be a daunting task to say, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, our next,
let's get in Leviticus.
I was going to say our next part of making the most of our study time is the idea of, rather than reading passages pulled from different parts of the Bible each day, you choose a book and you stay there. And mm-hmm. that can be a little bit overwhelming to start off with, of like, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to stay in the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to,
that's my favorite,
really
books,
big one. So yes, but good. That's also a really big one to start off with.
Yeah.
But so maybe start with John.
We're going to stay in John for a while.
If you're first getting to know it. But having that change of mindset can really help eliminate a lot of that fear or discouragement that might come. Because I feel like you can get really good for a week and then you just feel like you're not getting any traction because you're not having this moment of the angels singing and the light coming down and
we said that
hitting
last week.
The Bible at a certain spot and like, oh, it illuminated exactly. And when that happens, that's fantastic. But know that that is the exception, not the rule. Like that is not going to happen every time you're in scripture. Yeah. And so we definitely are passionate about choosing a book and staying there. Like topical study guides, devotional guides, they can leave us with a little piece of knowledge of scripture, but they don't necessarily, we don't always give us the bigger context, right?
Yeah. You only learn a little bit of it.
Yes.
And not like, okay, well, when I like pull back on this, I can see, like, look in context in the whole thing. And we can use, I can do all things through Christ if we want to.
Right.
How many times are we throwing that around? So I'm like,
that's not to say that topical studies are not absolutely good. Like there are some very solid topical studies that I would definitely recommend, but that's not all
substitute
that needs to. Yes. That's not a substitute. It is an addition to. So I'm thinking of, the preaching the gospel to yourself. Who does that?
Sola Gratia.
Yes. Sola Gratia does one called preaching the gospel to yourself. That would be considered more of a topical study. I know they have one on anxiety and depression, and I have those to give to you, but
I was just about to ask you, but I'm like, I can wait till after this, but I'm like,
I've had those for like months.
It's fine.
I have so much to send to you.
I need to remind someone to
I know.
Help me with this.
Someone else needs to help you with this. Anyways, we've gotten off track. But so topical study guides are not the only thing. Like they are helpful if you are wanting to focus in on one topic, but they don't replace getting into a passage.
Yeah.
And the idea of reading a book from start to finish, a book of the Bible from start to finish, it helps us connect the dots in our Bible knowledge, and it allows us to have a cohesive understanding of the text. And it just so often, there are some things that I know really well. There are other things I don't know at all. I was even talking about this in context of history. Like, I know nothing past like World War One and to like current. I'm horrible at that kind of history stuff. Ask me about the pilgrims. Gotcha. Like, is that something
I'm your girl.
That in my school they focused a lot on. So I think of that in the same context of there are some books and there are some stories that I've got down pat. But there's a lot that I still struggle with. So there is value in reading a book of the Bible from start to finish. And when you finish it, going back and starting it again, right? Like continuing
reading it
to go
and
over
it
and over it and over
in different translations and letting it be read to you.
No, different translations. We can't do that.
Get out of here.
No, yes, but I can. Do like being read to you. I don't drive nearly as much as I used to. Thank you. Work from home. I'm not upset about it, but I like drive to church and, I just drive a lot less than I used to when I was driving to work. But one of my favorite things was to be able to turn on just the regular Bible app has an option to be able to read it. But I know there's like the Dwell Bible app that has a fantastic, we're not sponsored by it. Would love to be, but
they're really good.
The Dwell Bible app is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it has, you know, it has all kinds of different translation. So if it's a way to be able to maybe get around your conscience of like, I'm not comfortable enough to have the NIV in my house and read from it, but I could have someone read to me from it. So it kind of gives you, like you said, a different context, and a different translation.
Yeah.
Or not a different context. Let me change that. Not a different context, but a different translation that will maybe give you a little bit of a different understanding.
Yeah. And that's extremely important, I think, and extremely helpful. I think another thing I always harp on, I think I've already actually said this three times this episode, but we want to make sure when we are studying scripture that we honor the context that it's written in. So we want, and this is so important, and I'm very, very passionate about this because this changed the way I read scripture. When reading a book in light of its original audience and setting is the basic principle of interpretation. So you want to read the book that you're reading in light of its original audience and its setting. Like, and there's questions that Jen mentioned last week or last episode, and I will reiterate them because it's really helpful. It's like, who wrote the book?
Go ahead. We'll also put them in the description. Yes. I know that helps a lot of people. Some of this stuff, I feel like our description is going to be super heavy because we're going to put a lot of information and we'll link to a lot of information. So I'll include this in there.
Great. I want to leave, you know, I want to have tools for everyone.
That way people don't have to feel like they need to write these questions down if that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I love that. On the fly. Good job, Kristen. So some of the questions you want to ask is, who wrote it? Who wrote this book? That's really important. And to whom was it written? Like, who was the audience that they were writing to? When was it written? And I think this is really, 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 really important. What historical and cultural factors prompted and informed this writing? We know that God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired these people to write these books. These are God's words, but it was written in a particular time for a particular people. And so were they at war? Were they, you know, like, it's all these things to think about. And I think when we look at it through those lenses, it will help us read the Bible through the correct lens instead of our own cultural bias. Yeah. It's really easy to read the Bible through our own cultural bias, like our own lenses of like what's happening today.
Especially, you know, because the culture that the scriptures were written in is so foreign to us, right? Mm-hmm. So not only are we many, many years removed, but it's also a Western versus Eastern culture, right? Like, absolutely. We are not well versed in the Eastern culture and kind of what all of that means. I know one of my really good friends talks about this specific I guess he would be a teacher. He was a rabbi, and I'm pretty sure he was a rabbi, but he just goes through some of Jesus's teaching and just gives a little bit more cultural context. He's like, if you're not from, I will give you the,
I would nerd out on that. I saw you looking at my face.
I think his name is Ray Vanderlaan. I believe
you find that and you let me
know. I will find that, but he just gives a little bit more like, okay, so you see this, the idea of, you know, even in the parable or when he's telling them to be salt and light, right? Like even in something like this, this is what you get out of it. And that's right. He's like, I'm not saying that that's not right. There's deeper though. There's a little bit more when you get to know like the context that they are living in actively. So like, this is what normal life looked like. Like when they talk about salt, salt was mixed with this, and you know, and then it's like when he says it's not, it's good enough to be thrown out, or like that's when it's had its salt, it loses its saltiness, it's to be thrown out. Like there is a little bit more cultural context they understood behind that. And they understood that. And it again doesn't necessarily completely change the meaning, but it gives a little bit of a deeper idea of it. And so trying to read that without our cultural bias, which we're like, oh, salt, you buy it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And like you put it in a, you put it in a salt shaker or in a salt, like a little fancy salt container too, because it made me feel fancy. Anyways.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think we can also, it's really easy to be like, well, like what's the Bible for us then? Well, we know in 2 Timothy that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable.
Right.
So there is something for us in that, but we have to look at it through the lens of how it was written literally.
Right. And it just means we might have to work a little bit harder.
And that's okay.
And that's all right.
And that's all right. And we're getting to that. But one thing I wanted to say also, and that we'll put in the show notes, is the Bible Project is a fantastic yes. resource for this. So I did their Bible reading plan a couple years ago, and before you can download their app. Also, not sponsored by them, but you can download their app.
All these people just need a sponsor.
I'm saying, and they have a video before every single book of the Bible that tells all of this. It tells who wrote it, and it tells the context in which it was written and what was happening. Like, was Paul imprisoned here? Or, you know, like, was there, like I said earlier, a war going on culturally among these people? Like, what was happening? They go through all of that, and it's done in such a way that's like, it's super helpful. And so I would encourage the Bible Project for people if they wanted to do that. I mean, if you have a study Bible, a lot of times it's also in your study Bible.
It's in your study Bible, but some yes. people do better with Me. More of a video aspect. And it's really cool. They have like, it is a lot more engaging.
It's really cool.
It yeah. is really cool.
And they're not long, you know, but no. I'm like, oh, it's easier for me to read this book, especially when you're in the Old Testament. I'm like, okay, Leviticus is hard. Right. But when you give me like this context, I'm like, oh, okay. Like that's,
yeah,
that's helpful. You know, the genealogies aren't so boring after all, you know, like it's helpful.
Hey, no one got to see my face on that.
Yes. And so, yeah, that's important. Context is important. We already said that genre is important. We can't read yeah. the Psalms the way we read the Gospels. You know, we can't read prophecy the way we read wisdom literature. And so the genres that we mentioned, that really, really is important.
Yeah, it for sure is. I think another thing to understand and be okay with is to be okay with I don't know.
I hate it so much.
It is very hard,
sure.
especially for someone like me, who I feel like I should always have an answer to everything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I do. And so getting to a point where I say, ooh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So we don't like to feel lost and confused, especially when it comes to reading yeah. our Bibles. But that's actually a really good thing. Because until we know the extent of what we don't know, until we can kind of figure that out, we won't push ourselves to pursue that knowledge.
Because right? if we thought we knew it already, we would not dig deeper.
Right. We're like, oh, okay, I know this, moving on. But so embrace the fact that I don't know is a good thing. And it mm-hmm. shows you just how much more you can keep pushing in to know deeper. Commentaries, and which I love, and sermons or notes in a study Bible,
podcasts,
mm-hmm. Sermons from other, you know, churches or pastors that you listen to. Those are great. Those mm-hmm. are fantastic. And they are a gift from God, right? Like yeah. we think of a lot of these things are given to us, and we have access to them because of technology or things like that. But those are best used after you've spent time yourself trying to understand the passage on your own. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to read it and say, oh, I don't know, I don't understand, I'm going to go see what XYZ mm-hmm. theologian, whoever, insert your favorite theologian is. Mm-hmm. Because everyone has the favorite theologians, right?
Sure. Sure. I do.
But it is really good to wrestle with a passage before yeah. going and finding out what someone else has to say about
it. I also might give a little tip on this, something that helped me when I was going through Psalms and Proverbs. It's really easy when you have a study Bible, like I have one,
yeah,
just to go ahead and look at the footnotes and go ahead and like, you know, go ahead and find what someone else has to say about it. So what we did was we went ahead and bought like, I'm sure other versions have this, but like ESV, they have like a study journal, and you can buy them for every book of the Bible, and it has the scriptures in it for that book, and then like places for you to write on each page. Mm-hmm. And there's zero commentary. And so I would actually put my Bible away and just use that, so I wasn't tempted to look through that. And so you can buy it as a set, you can buy it, I mean, I personally have it for Psalms, Proverbs, and Revelations, because I really wanted to look at my footnotes for those. But I would encourage that because it helps you study it with your mind and not someone else's mind.
Yes. And that is, I think Jen said that in the last episode, right? Is that we are not going to be held accountable for, because, you know, the Bible calls us to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Mm-hmm. And mind is part of that. And we're not going to be held to how our pastor loved God with his mind. We aren't called to know, like, held accountable to how my best friend loved God with all of her mind. I'm going to be held accountable for how I loved God with my mind. Yeah. And that's not to discount, like, our conversations, right? Like, we have conversations all the time.
Yeah. Or wise advice.
Or, like, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, there are things that I think just earlier, might have been earlier today or yesterday, where I sent you a message about, like, something that I was like, oh, I've never heard it said that way.
Yesterday. Yeah.
That changes kind of how I've thought through it. And we were kind of just verbalizing and discussing that. And that's not a bad thing. But we need to have the burden on loving God with our mind.
Yeah.
And it's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think finally, the last thing, not the least important thing, probably the most important thing, but also I feel like anytime I say this, it's kind of like an eye roll because everyone's like, of course, but like for real, I think the final thing we do is we need to pray.
Yeah.
We as created beings lack wisdom, and there is no more time than I am more aware of that than when I'm studying the scriptures. I am very aware that I lack wisdom, you know? And, you know, that's when we just need to ask God to give us ears to hear. I know one of the things that, you know, I write curriculum, and one of the things that we say every single week to our kids is Psalms 119:8. We just pray and we're like, you know, we just pray the scripture. You're like, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of your law or your word. So open my eyes that I can just see the wondrous things of your word. I think that's really important that we need to acknowledge our limitations and ask God to grant us wisdom and insight because he's faithful and he will not refuse our request. It may not be immediate. It may be 10 years from now. But I think that acknowledging our limitations and you're like, God, help me because I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm reading. Can you please help me understand this? And then just like put in the work and keep showing up. I shared a meme. I don't know if you saw it on social media this week, and it made me laugh because I like The Office. I don't care. Judge me if you will. But it was like Michael Scott, and he was like, it's like Michael Scott and Pam. And he was like, did you see that? He was like, do you know how to hear from the Lord? And she's like, yes. And he's like, do you want to hear audibly? And she's like, yes. And he's like, read the Bible and then read it out loud. So like, if you want to hear from the Lord, that's what we all want. We want to feel close to the Lord. If we want to hear from the Lord, it's his word. And that's how my kids would tell you. We talk to God through prayer. And God talks to us through his word. Right. Like that's how he talks to us. And so there is nothing more important, I think, than studying the Bible, studying the scriptures. And if you're wanting to talk to God and you're wanting him to talk to you, you've got to get in the word. And sometimes that's acknowledging your limitations and asking God for wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And we can't discount that we as believers have the Holy Spirit. And that is one of his jobs is to lead us in truth. In one of our Bible studies that I was in earlier this week, and I was just looking through to find the passage. It's in John 16 when Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying that there's going to be someone coming that is better than me, and talking about the Holy Spirit. And in verse 12, he starts out and says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Mm. So we can't discount also that we each have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and that he will guide us to truth.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my favorite lessons to actually write and teach. Because one thing I always ask the kids is like, I mean, is it better to have Jesus here or to have the Holy Spirit? And they're all like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah,
we're like the physical, like, corporal, like, okay, person.
But like Jesus, what if you had Jesus here? Like, what if he was in the Middle East or in China? But like, we have the Holy Spirit as believers.
A person of the Trinity.
A person with us all the time. And I think that is...
Which means he's there when we're reading scripture.
Yep. And he's active. Yep. That's really good. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm like,
that might be another podcast.
Another. I know the perfect person for that one. That one. The Holy Spirit. Man, I really hope, if nothing else, people are really encouraged that they see God rightly and that they're prompted to get in his word. And so now, as we continue, I know what we're wanting to hit next episode. Mm-hmm. That any hardship or anything we point back to scripture, people will have this and they're like, okay, well, I need to look at the context of what this is about and what was happening and what genre is this? Like, is it poetry? Am I supposed to be reading this? Like, this is a letter? No, it's poetry. Like, it's a metaphor. Like, let's read this, you know? Yeah. did you just do that? Emotions are Kristen's favorite thing. She's super emotional. If you didn't know that about her.
Emotional.
She hates them so much.
I'm very emotionless.
But yeah, I'm just hopeful that going forward, we can point back to these things and say, hey, these are the tools. Look in our show notes. These are the tools that we've given you to study the word. And that's what, I mean, like, if I am most passionate about anything, that's that it is literally telling people, man, the Bible's for you. I don't care if you're 5 and I don't care if you're 105, like, the Bible is for you.
Because the last thing we want is to be another person that you just take what we say and what we discuss as gospel truth.
We're pushing back against that.
That is not, again, that's the Reformation changed that. But so many of us did grow up in an environment where it was who was up there as our pastor and up in the pulpit that kind of what they said was gospel truth. And so we definitely don't want to be in that camp of take what we say and go to scripture and see if that is what scripture is saying as well. And we try our hardest to stay as close as possible to what scripture means. But we're going to get it wrong too. okay.
We would absolutely love people. Like, if you do this and you go back and read and you're like, I'm not really sure about that. Like, I would love to have a conversation because that could be the Holy Spirit saying, like, hey, maybe you need to look at something a little differently. Like, I think that's what we do. I think Jen even said that last week, like, it's meant to be done in community.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is something I'm really, if you cannot tell, really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely love questions or pushbacks or whatever. Yeah. I would and welcome them and say, hey, I could be wrong, but maybe the Lord's using you to show me something or, you know.
And there's many different ways that you can reach out to us. So I'm going to give our plugs again that I try not to do every time, but obviously there's Facebook. We have our Grow and Grace podcast page that is growing, which is really cool. Every time someone likes it, I'm like, yay, someone else liked our page. we are trying to get better. This summer has been really crazy about trying to keep up with social media. But if you do reach out through messages or anything like that, we will respond and be able to talk through that. We have Instagram, we have Twitter. But most and probably the easiest way is at our website, growingracepodcast.com. There is a little tab at the top right corner. It says contact us and you can send us an email and either myself or Shanna can respond and just dialogue with you. If there's something that you said that you're like, I don't agree with this at all, reach out or to us about that.
Or I'm confused. Could you point me maybe in different...
Right. Or
I will say one, the Bible, and two, I'll give you extra resources.
Right. Or, hey, I loved this, or whatever it is that you want to tell us. We would love to hear from you all. And
yeah,
I'm trying to think, is that everything? Of course, on like Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to podcasts, it's always great to be able to like and rate those and leave comments and things on that about the podcast so that other people can hopefully find this and share on your social media pages. We've tried to do, and we have done a couple different giveaways, just in an effort of getting our podcast out there and just having you all share it. And hopefully you're sharing this with friends that would find it helpful. That's the word. Mm-hmm. It's late. As I just looked, I was like, "Ooh, it's late."
Anyways. Well, next episode. Do you want to say what we're talking about?
Are you teasing it?
I'm teasing it a little bit because then we're committed to it and we're going to do it.
Then we have to do it.
Yeah.
Next episode, we're going to talk about the law.
The law, and why it's a good thing.
And why it's a good thing. It's really
should be a great conversation.
It's almost should be midnight a great, here.
Should be a great conversation. All right. Hey, I love talking about my most favorite topic with you. So I'm glad we're in this together.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm glad. I would have no one else that I would want to do this podcast with than with you.
Thanks.
Mainly friend. Because you keep me on track with everything. So
full-time job.
Anyways, friends, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.